relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. For those of you who have followed my career prior to landing at Salem, oh, greetings, by the way. This is One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka. One of the things I did prior to entering the White House is I was national security editor for a website you may have heard of. It's called Breitbart.com. It is the most influential conservative website out there. And I was having a meeting with one Steve Bannon to talk geopolitics, because that is his thing. And at the end of the meeting, he said, I need you to be my national security editor. How much do you want? I didn't want another job. I didn't need another job. I mentioned a number I thought was silly, and he said, sure, when can you start? These are the things you never plan for, but as the Hungarian saying goes, man plans, God executes. And one of my colleagues there, a dear friend to this very day, is the man in charge, editor-in-chief, employee number one for Andrew Breitbart, Alex Marlow. Welcome back to America First.
Dr. G, it's always a blast to be with you, and what a great story. And I never asked Steve for a silly number. That was very stupid of me. And I probably should have, because in retrospect, he did let me pull the trigger on some first-class travel a few times. That was probably not necessary.
Well, we have so much to discuss, especially your latest series of articles about in America this summer, the summer of rage. But first, let me share with our millions of listeners across the nation a story you told me in one of those very, very early editorial mornings that we used to have, what, like 9 a.m. every morning with the key editors. And you told me every story, anything that gets up onto this hallowed ground of Breitbart.com has to have certain elements. Number one, it has to be interesting. It has to be fun to read. Number two, it has to push the mission forward of saving America, of standing up for our values, the values upon which our republic was founded. And if I miss any out, please add them. And then the one I find so interesting, especially now as I'm writing a television script for a new show, is in each story, because they're there, you've got to find and identify the villains and the heroes. Am I missing anything out from the Breitbart style book?
Yeah, no, that's it. It's the, if there's anything I would add to the last point, that we like content that fights. We like content that puts our audience in the fight. And bonus points if you can do that without actually having to literally write, go fight with this person or fight on behalf of that person. But yes, absolutely, we see ourselves as not just part of the news landscape. We think we're the best part of the news landscape, but we're also part of the activist landscape as well. And I think that that's part of that is identifying what are the battles that matter for this country and for the free world. But it's pretty much a better summary than I probably gave at the time. So maybe it's evolved a little bit, but improved over the years.
All right. Well, let's put up the book. You mentioned the news landscape today. This is Alex's first book, I believe. It's called Breaking the News. It is absolutely essential reading, exposing the establishment media's hidden deals and secret corruption. Just a completely engrossing series of stories that most people are not familiar with. You got to read the book. You got to follow Alex on all social media platforms. Let's start with that overall question. So if you are in a battle, the first thing you have to do is we teach in the U.S. military, you have an estimate of the situation. You take a snapshot of the battlefield and you measure what is going on. What is the nature of the media landscape today, Alex, and in what ways has it changed most significantly since you were first hired by that great man, Andrew Breitbart? What have been the biggest tectonic changes in the last, let's say, decade?
Yeah, thank you as always for mentioning the book. And I think is what made me decide the book was necessary was seeing that toggle switch that was flipped within the media when Donald Trump came down that escalator. It went from the media was simply, this is liberally biased, and they would prefer if Democrats won, but they would try to present both sides to a certain degree, and they weren't literally trying to destroy the people that they were writing about just for having different politics. And that did change with President Trump, and we've seen it manifested in just about every prominent conservative politician or activist or even business owner who stands for Judeo-Christian values now. When the media writes about them, they're weaponized. They're weaponized against that individual or against the entity upon which they're writing about. And that really changed to me. And that's why books like Bernie Goldberg's Bias, which all of us read 25, 30 years ago, which are very important, and all the great work that my friends at the Media Research Center do to track the media, all of that was, those are components of what's going on, but it did no longer told the full picture. The full picture was these people are out to destroy your audience, Dr. G, you personally, President Trump, my audience, et cetera. And that has not really changed. The good news is that America has changed, and America no longer sees the media, by and large, as credible. I think most Americans now look at the media skeptically, which is very healthy, and I think is historically entirely accurate. Now, sadly, there's so much fake news about websites like mine and shows like yours that we have to fend off on a daily basis. The corporatization of the media landscape means certain stories are not covered at all. A case in point, the rise of Red China is just not something people like to talk about at all in the establishment media because it puts their business models at risk. But overall, the media is basically the same, but Americans have changed in a good way.
But how concerned are you that given this massive and totally justified mistrust of the establishment voices, Alex, that we're having an unhealthy fragmentation where people just go to hear their own predispositions echoed back at them? Look, I don't think that's a conservative issue per se, because you and I know what MSNBC said last night.
Yes.
We know what
right.
CNN said. But for the low, what is it, Rush called them, the low information voters, especially on the left, the propensity to just be trapped in this ever shrinking echo chamber, does that disturb you?
It very much does, and I'm still stunned at people who never read Breitbart or never come in contact with our content or aren't familiar with what we're doing, because we're, other than perhaps Fox, we're certainly the biggest game in the news generation world on the right, and we're providing content that we rigorously fact check. It is scrutinized to such an incredible level. The content is unassailable, and you still don't see it promoted in places like Apple News or Google News, because they know that the content that we're putting out there is a threat to the corporate establishment globalist status quo. And now with Democrats occupying the entirety of Washington, that as well. And so people really do make an effort to suppress the information that's a threat to what's going on. So we still need to deal with that, but it is a constant battle, which is why I say I like fun stories and interesting stories to keep people engaged in the news. A lot of people do want to punch out, but that is not adequate right now. The Republic's on the brink, and people need to be engaged in the media.
I don't want to force you to give away any business secrets, but you know, you were very successful. Trump came along. Then they came after you big time. The left wanted to cancel your advertisers. Then I saw a resurgence and a growth. How is Breitbart doing today? It looks to me like you're doing very, very well.
We're incredibly solid, and I always want us to move further ahead and to do more new things, but the backbone of Breitbart readers aren't going anywhere, and they're sharing our content at a intense level. We're absolutely dominant on social media for conservatives. Now, this is a slice of the pie that unfortunately is controlled by Mark Zuckerberg and the freaks over at Twitter, which is why, even though Dr. G, as we've talked about just about every time I've been on in the last few months, as much as I'm an Elon Musk fan, I was genuinely rooting for him to take over Twitter, because nothing could be worse than what Twitter is now. Obviously, the Upstart conservative platform, which I like very much, we perform very well in there. I think I was looking at it. I think I'm one of the major conservative ones. I think we have like a third of the people on it subscribed to Breitbart, which is amazing.
Wow.
So it's very cool, and we feel all the support and the love. But it things could be much easier in a fair world. But luckily, we're not naive enough to believe we're in a fair world.
I always learn something when I'm on with Alex, and I think from now on I'm going to use the label freaks for the people at Twitter in Silicon Valley. I think that is absolutely perfect, whether it's Zuckerberg, whether it's everybody else in Twitter. Freaks is the right noun. The book is Breaking the News. You can get it wherever good books are sold. He is on social media everywhere with a very cool cartoon avatar. You've got to check him out. And, of course, every morning, Breitbart News Daily on SiriusXM, the Patriot Channel. I am with Alex every Thursday morning, so tune in. Never miss that. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy our in-depth discussions with the real newsmakers, with the real experts, guarantee for yourself that you never, ever miss an episode. It's super easy. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Do write us a little 5-star review. It does help with those dastardly algorithms, and share the links with your friends, and guarantee that you never, ever miss an episode of America First. Dear friends, we have a lot of new listeners to our show, and as we add new stations across the country, some of you may not be familiar with our friends at the Christian nonprofit relief organization Food for the Poor. Please check out sebgorka.com and the banner at the very top that says Help Ukraine to learn more as we rush urgently needed food aid emergency meals to thousands of displaced children and families in war-torn Ukraine. Food for the Poor served 17 different countries in our hemisphere, including Haiti, Guatemala, and other Central American nations where the poorest of the poor need your help. But right now, they're partnering with other relief organizations on the ground in Ukraine because the refugee situation is still dire. Just listen to the audio from a news report on the situation.
I mean, people are bringing whatever they could muster. These are the meager belongings of folks who have left their entire lives behind, as we have seen so many times when war comes to a country, when refugees are created. All they're trying to do now is survive and eventually go home.
You may have certain opinions about what's happening in Ukraine. That is absolutely your right. But women and children are hungry. Let's help them right now. A donation of $50 provides 200 meals. Make a difference. Let's help those who are fighting their own 1776. Go to sebgorka.com and click on the Help Ukraine banner at the top. That's SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, and the Help Ukraine banner at the top. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bedsheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. Alex, you mentioned Elon Musk, a rather interesting individual, the richest man in the world, allegedly, outside of Putin. Let's play a little cut on how he stirred things up amongst the freaks in Palo Alto.
And a good sign as to whether there is free speech is someone you don't like allowed to say something you don't like? And if that is the case, then we have free speech. And it's damn annoying when someone you don't like says something you don't like. That is a sign of a healthy, functioning free speech situation.
Well, great words, great words. And the fact that he has garnered all the right, and I mean all the right enemies in the last 4 months, is fabulous. It's delicious to watch. I mean, you know, the people who hate you and hate me and President Trump. You educated me a lot on Elon, his Chinese business deals, et al. Please check out Alex's book, Breaking the News. But let's do an estimate of the situation when it comes to not media, but social media. You have been covering this for years. I remember before I went to the White House, 5-6 years ago, you had a panel discussion with me, with Peter Schweitzer and others. We discussed you call them the masters of the universe, the tech oligarchs, the overlords that censor us. What is the right response? What would you like to see? As conservatives, we have issues with over-regulating industry, although every industry needs certain regulation. Can this be fixed? Here's the question. Let me boil it down. Can this be fixed with conservative tools? Because right now people are being canceled. You can't say the word groomer on social media. What is Alex Marlowe's response?
Yeah, it's very tough if you don't consider that these social media platforms are public utilities. If you don't treat them like that and you pretend as though they are independent businesses that don't coordinate with the government and benefit greatly from government rules and do not try to push one specific political narrative, and you just treat them as if they're just sort of a normal company like the small cafe down the block that sells you croissants and coffee, then if you treat them like that company, then they're going to continue to engage in viewpoint discrimination and engage in monopolistic practices. Now, recall that Google isn't just the masters of search. They're the masters of advertising, as they're the biggest place where you can get advertising on the planet, really, because it's digital advertising. So they're not just dominant in one area, they're dominant in two. Amazon's not just the biggest retailer, they're also now the biggest cloud computing server place where you can get. And we saw how that went for conservatives with Parler. It was a big headache for months and months and months when they decided that Parler should be on their platforms. So these are not normal companies. These are companies that are clearly, at least arguably, monopolistic in a lot of ways and should be subject, I think, to antitrust laws that are on the books. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know why we would have these things if we're not looking into how these companies are behaving vigorously. So I would like to see some of them broken up. But the most important thing isn't how, it's what, Dr. G. They need to stop engaging in viewpoint discrimination where they make it harder to do business if you're a conservative, harder to thrive on their platform, to have information that is like the Hunter Biden laptop, which was totally true and is now even being covered by CNN, being treated like false information in order to advance political agenda, while the falsehoods like the Russian collusion hoax gets elevated on their platform via algorithms. They need to have transparency about how these things happen, who's responsible for them, and there needs to be massive penalties if they continue to engage in it. Now, I don't know if that's a conservative solution or not, but I do know that allowing for monopolies to crush small businesses and competition is not really a free market, and it's not really conservative.
Will this GOP do what you are advising, Alex? I mean, look, we can discuss the primaries. The party is changing, but is it realistic? Is your expectation realistic?
I think you can start by starting to look at them. Those of us who are on Twitter, and I am irregularly, but Breitbart is very big on Twitter. When Elon Musk looked like he was set to take over Twitter for a brief moment in time, I think everyone noticed the platform loosening up, that some tweaks were made to the algorithm where conservatives were doing better. They were getting more engagement on the platform in the days following the presumed Musk takeover. And then as it became more clear that Musk wasn't going to get Twitter, at least without some sort of a prolonged legal battle, it looked like the contraction started to happen in terms of conservative engagement. The fact that I have to speculate on this or wait for a whistleblower to tell me I'm correct is disturbing, though I guess not surprising. But assuming I'm right and assuming that's the case, then it's imperative for the sake of the Republic that conservatives start looking into these tech giants and their algorithms and making it so that at a minimum, there is pressure put on them to be transparent with the public that they service. And I think that you have to start with that at a minimum. And if the Republicans fail in that, then they've completely lost the plot and they're putting the country at risk.
We're going to talk about the new series of articles you've written on the summer of rage and violence in America. We're talking to Alex Marlowe. Thank you, everybody, for your kind comments on social media about the new Dr. G, the Mark II. Yes, you can tell, especially when you see those old Relief Factor ads. I've lost 36 pounds in just a couple of months, thanks to Dr. Ashley Lucas and her amazing team at PhD Weight Loss. Find out for yourself. First diet in 20 years. It's worked for me and my wife. She has lost 26 pounds. Call 864-644-1900. It truly works. You won't regret it. MyPhDWeightLoss.com, 864-644-1900, MyPhDWeightLoss.com. I'm sure you've seen it, Alex, but there was a delightful exchange between, what is his name, Little Krugman Chappie and Potato Face at CNN, talking about violence from the left in America and how we shouldn't exaggerate it. Eric, can you play that cut, please?
Well, first of all, there's the specific issue of the whole Black Lives Matter demonstrations, which a large part of the country, certainly a lot of the mail I get, people think that, you know, lots of Manhattan was burned to the ground. They think that this was an enormously destructive thing, when in fact, yes, there was some arson and looting, but actually really not very much in a country the size of the United States and for demonstrations that size. So they think that,
Can I clarify, Paul? That's because whenever we're talking about the January 6th hearings, the likes of Sean Hannity always say, well, why aren't you investigating the summer of 2020 riots? That's what they say basically every day.
Yeah, and you're in Manhattan, right? I mean, you know that there it is not a burned out shell. This just never happened, but they're told.
No,
that
I mean,
it did.
Look, there were windows shattered in my building, and it was awful, and we cleaned it up the next day, and that's what people do. So,
yeah. Shouldn't we have done that in Congress? I mean, you know, stuff was broken. We should just clean it up the next day. No commissions needed. I mean, right. if you're living in Beverly Hills or Kalorama in D.C., no big deal, right, Alex?
No, it's. I actually have a relative in Beverly Hills, and she's had her car broken into twice over the last year or two after living there for 30 years and not having it happen once. I mean, this is, first of all, Dr. G, this is unacceptable level of crime, and crime on the rise is a sign of a country in decline and of a governance that doesn't care about their citizens and is more focused on other battles like, I don't know, January the 6th, stuff like that, where, again, we would love it if Brian Stelter's standard was applied to our Congress and we could all move on. That would be really great if we could do that. But I think that the intimidation factor is very big. It's very unpleasant to go to New York City. I haven't been, I think, in the longest in a decade and a half, and it's because it's dirty, it smells bad, there's trash everywhere, it's dangerous, it's too expensive.
Can I just interrupt you? Yeah. My son just got back from New York. First thing he said, this is a 23-year-old, he says, the city stinks. That's his first impression of New York.
Trash everywhere. Yeah, there's trash everywhere, and it's becoming a running joke online. I mean, trash day is just – it's so loud, and there's so many bags of trash, and there's so much filth. And then the normal days, there is – it is getting filthier. And the same thing is happening in L.A. where there are – in Seattle and San Francisco where there's so many extreme measures being taken to try to minimize the filth that's taking place in our major cities. And, you know, I don't – have to spend a ton of time in our major cities, thankfully, Dr. G, but it's a very sad thing. But I lived just outside of Georgetown during the Summer of Love 2020. And it wasn't just that there was rioting and looting at night, which there was, but you had to board up stores. Stores that we liked went out of business. When we would do our walk along the river on Saturday mornings, we had to pass by all the boarded up storefronts. And that was very upsetting, and it cuts morale. It makes you less happy. It's so and for those of us who felt like it was necessary to be in the cities at the time, why do we have to endure all this just because Paul Krugman and Brian Stelter don't care enough about it? That we should be striving for excellence in this country, not okaying some of this beneath mediocrity.
But talk to us about how that isn't just a factor of history, how it's happening right now because of Supreme Court justices exercising the democratic, you know, promoting democracy and sending issues back to the states, Alex.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this up. I'm writing a series right now, Breitbart, about half of them are up, and it is called The Summer of Rage, where I'm trying to do a dive into the riots that took place after the Alito draft of the Dobbs decision was leaked online, and these left-wing organizations started to mobilize. I trace a lot of them to Madison, Wisconsin. A lot of them figured out clever ways to meme their violence on Twitter, and I go through some of the players. Some of them I think were previously unknown to the audience and have not only known in a minor way. I think this is something in the tradition of Andrew Breitbart. But what you find is a disturbing level of terrorism and intimidation by the institutional left that got no interest from our establishment media, no effort to explain it. And the tactics were used specifically to try to create the maximum level of chaos with the minimum level of media scrutiny. That was how they did it. And they achieved it. And we got all the way to the point where there is an attempted assassination on a Supreme Court justice, and the media acted as though it wasn't a big deal. They literally acted as though it was some sort of a one-off freak. Well, it wasn't so. It was a guy who we learned weeks later was trying to change the makeup of the court for decades. This was someone who was acting at least somewhat rationally and thinking that the best thing to do with his life would be to assassinate someone simply for having a different legal opinion on whether or not the penumbras of the Constitution protected a right for a woman to scramble a baby's brains and have them vacuumed out for until the moment of birth, which is truly insane. And our media is the rubber, the Paul Krugman's and the New York Times opinion page and the CNN's were, if anything, on the side of these rioters because they wouldn't cover them and give them the covers they deserved. This is the series I'm laying out. It's called The Summer of Rage. We're about halfway through, and it's really frightening stuff about our country.
Yeah, and the fact people miss this, that first we were told, oh, he just went there because of the 2A decision, the Second Amendment decision. Now, weeks later, we find out, no, it's because of the abortion decision that he wanted to kill Kavanaugh and his family. We're talking to Alex Marlow, editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com. This is America First One-on-One, coming to you from the Relief Factor studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating 500,000 Americans from their daily pain, me included. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. You owe it to yourself. Find out today. Call 800-500-8384 or just go to relieffactor.com. That's 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com. You follow politics so closely, Alex. I have to ask you your take because I'm not getting anywhere closer to an understanding of what Nancy Pelosi did this week in Asia, what Gavin Newsom is doing creeping around the White House when the sleepy, creepy old guy is in Brussels. What's happening? You know, for me, I've said this a million times before. I don't like Bill Clinton. He's a creep. He's probably a rapist. But at least he was sane and he would rein in the crazies. Nobody's reining in the crazies. Does she think she's the president? Are they getting ready to pitch the Beijing Biden guy under the bus? What if your sources aren't telling you, what's your gut telling you?
Yeah, and I am trying to make a bigger effort to try to get sources to explain some of this stuff. We're pretty well networked inside of Pelosi world, so we get some things, but you know, you get spun by everyone, as you know, Dr. G. Yeah. So it's always hard to report everything without the proverbial grain of salt. But let's take these two in a row. Newsom going to the White House is very peculiar. It's certainly an odd flex to show up there when the president's not there, when you're someone who is seen as a potential successor to that president. It's a very odd move. And recall, Biden was on a trip when Newsom showed up. Now, maybe his justification was that he and Kamala Harris come from the same Bay Area political machine. So you would assume
they're related. Yeah. People forget this. He is her nephew by marriage.
I actually did not know that. Is that true?
Or yes. Yeah. On the show. Yeah. Gruesome Newsome, Nancy's nephew. That's how he is known in America.
I was talking calmly. Yes. Yeah. He's Nancy's. But this is my point, is the California Democrat machine is incredibly powerful and well networked. And they include a lot of Hollywood types and tech types. And, you know, Kamala was seen as the chosen tech candidate. And obviously she's in good with Obama world. But Kamala's approval is lower than Barack Obama. So I think that unless Joe Biden decides to resign, which I don't think he will, or God forbid dies or becomes incapacitated, I don't think Kamala Harris is becoming president anytime soon. And there's a chance Newsom was talking to her to point that out and to start brokering whatever is going to be the next iteation of the Democrat Party, which Newsom is running for president right now.
And let's talk about that next iteration. I mean, for me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you are the guy who, you know, 20 hours a day is checking copy, publishing copy. You are the guy at Breitbart. All I see at the Democrat Party is a wicked concatenation, a cocktail of idiocy and arrogance. I don't see a plan that connects with reality.
Yes, it is mostly appears to be about power and the stuff we know about in terms of moving towards this new sustainable future where energy is unaffordable and we're all eating bugs and the farmland is owned by Bill Gates. I mean, it does seem like that's they're moving in that direction to appease the green movement. And of course, abortions until the 18th or 20th trimester, you know, we'll negotiate that down the road. It seems like those are the two big things. And of course, the solution to every problem economically is just more spending and debt and deficit don't matter. Those seem to be the key principles that they're going off of, and they almost all agree on those. So it is becoming who wants power the most. Joe Biden was that guy in 2020, and who will be that person 2024? And it certainly looks like Gavin Newsom's that person if Biden does clear out, which my prediction as of now is Biden doesn't. But
Biden doesn't clear out?
Yeah, he's spent 50 years accumulating power. There's no one that great waiting in the wings. And so he beat Trump the first time. And assuming Trump is going to be the nominee the second time, which is not a guarantee, but it's certainly the most likely scenario. I think that Biden will feel like he could do it again. And I think they're going to have a hard time pushing him out. So I'm not saying it's overwhelming that could be the case, but I'm operating with that premise personally, but I'm guarding against things like Newsom coming in, and Newsom thinks he's got a good narrative because he's sort of a clean slate. He could run on that. He's got a budget surplus in California, which was totally circumstantial that he got it, but he'll claim that he's some sort of a fiscal guru to come in during this economic crisis. He's fearless about taking hits from people like you and me, which, you know, works for Democrats and will help him in a primary. Help him get some sort of enthusiasm. So I think he's too slick of a guy. I don't think his record's very good, and I don't think he's particularly bright from what I can glean. So I don't think he's an A-plus candidate, but he thinks he's the best candidate right now. So that's happening.
But you say it's all about power, and I know it is. I mean, for them, it's clearly whether it's – I mean, seriously, 80 years old, what the hell are you doing, you know, re-upping in Congress? Have you not made enough money? But at the same time, they're doing things which undermine them. I mean, I'm sorry, keeping the border open, nominating justices who are female, who don't know what a female is. There seems to be just this suicidal hostage taking of themselves by their own ideology. Surely, sooner or later, this leads to disaster and loss of power for the Democrats.
You would think so, and we're hoping that that's what we see in a few months here as we're having this conversation, but they have to run on something, and the woke stuff is certainly will be a part of it, and I think that's very off-putting to a lot of normal Americans. But I do want to turn to Pelosi because you asked a really important question about her, and I do want to make sure I bring it up. I think she started her career as a China hawk, and she has become softer on China as her family got more entrenched with China financially. Peter Schweitzer tracked it in his book Red Handed, and we've documented it at Breitbart.com over and over again. But she was able to, I think, score some easy legacy points by showing up, by getting all the media attention, by dominating the global news cycle. And what's become of it? Nothing. There's nothing on the agenda. Things aren't going to be much easier for Taiwan, if easier at all. Things aren't going to be much tougher for China, if at all. She's seen as a leader, and her portfolio now, she's got cover. She's still as invested in China as ever before. Now, I will say, I'm glad she went. I think it's great that she went overall, but on a personal level, it seems like a 360 win for her without really much risk, and that's sort of clever, I got to admit.
But it does make her president look bad, doesn't it?
It does. And that's very interesting to me. And that might be part of what we're discussing about how Biden might not be rolling over easily. And maybe the powers that be in the Democrat Party have decided we've got to move on from this guy. And if we do move on from him, you're probably moving on from Kamala also, which could lead to a pretty wild primary with Newsom and Buttigieg and other people like that.
Yeah. We're talking to Alex Marlow. The book is breaking the news, really. It reads like a thriller, the stuff he has uncovered chapter by chapter, exposing the establishment media's hidden deals and secret corruption. Editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com. Also the host every morning. I don't think the guy sleeps at all. I think he's like my old boss, President Trump. He is the host at Breitbart News Daily on XM Sirius, the Patriot Channel. Follow him on all social media platforms. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works. Pain relief that's real, pain relief that liberated me from 9 years of purgatory, almost a decade of lower back pain. But it's not just about me, it's people like Yvonne from California. This is her story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and 500,000 other Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Don't wait any longer. Call today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Now, Alex, you're not exactly like me. You don't pick fights with CNN Playboy reporters in the Rose Garden, but you are a feisty individual. You've taken a stand. You now have the official call sign rooster mustache, like my son does, and it suits you. Would you just say a little word to everyone who's listening? Literally, from our listenership in California is huge. We just beat one of the biggest names in radio in California. It's all the way to New York. It's everything in between that's real America. Why do you do what you do? Because you don't back down. Breitbart doesn't back down. And Alex Marlow personally takes the slings and arrows. And most editors-in-chief are in the background. They're running things. They're checking things. They're giving out jobs to people. Why does Alex Marlow fight the way he does?
I really became convinced that through my childhood growing up and having parents who are right of center and constantly having talk radio on, that America is the last best hope for the world, and that our value system, if it does not win out, we're going to have a big problem as a planet, because the other value systems that are the most dominant are authoritarianism, socialism with communist characteristics coming from the CCP, Islamic fundamentalism. These are the things we're competing with, and America's unique combination of Judeo-Christian values, in God we trust, e pluribus unum, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. No one's ever tried this unique set of values before. And I think it's led to the greatest good for the greatest number, and while maintaining reasonable levels of freedom. I wish I could say we're the freest country in the world. I probably don't believe that anymore, which is a big shame. We should get back to that. But I have become a totally American. America-pilled, and that happened very early, and I realized the left was trying to take over the country and to move it in a direction that, you know, involves three-year-olds picking their pronouns. Now, I didn't see that in particular, but I could have seen that that was the direction things were going on a social level. We become more secular, we become less happy, and we become more at each other's throats, and I do think this is fundamentally from the culture, which I witnessed growing up in the Los Angeles area. I think that's to blame almost entirely. And talk radio in large ways has been the savior, which is why I'm on air, and I know you're on air, and I just so believe in this country, and I fight for it. I'm not in the exact way you do, Dr. G, but I love the way you fight for it, and I think some people love the way I fight for it.
He is carrying the torch of Andrew Breitbart forward, employee number one, guys. You got to bookmark this page, Breitbart.com. You've got to read his book, Breaking the News. Follow Alex Marlowe on all social media platforms and tune in, not just when I'm on his show, but tune in with regularity. It is the Breitbart Daily News Show on the XM Sirius Patriot Channel. God bless you, Alex Marlowe. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First one-on-one. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.